Well, first of all, if the Glazers weighed in about going and getting Fournette, I'm saying bravo, Glazers. How do you like that? Can you give me an explanation? Something stupid. Well, that's another bravo for Mike Evans. All right, you got to get off this Clay Matthews fixation over there.
Buccaneers fans, it is game week. Feels so damn great to say that, and it's even more great to say that you're sitting here with the sage of Tampa Bay sports. He is the king of Pasco County, the baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, Uncle Ira. Sage, we are fired up to talk to you today. So excited to kick off game week after a freaking pandemic. Unbelievable. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeKemper of Joe Bucks Fan is here. The podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford. Labor Day deals that'll blow your mind at Bill Curry Ford. Ira, how are you?
I'm excited. Anybody from Buck Nation, gentlemen, that is not excited at this point should be in a pine box somewhere. How dare you not be excited? People are going crazy over this team. Very few people think this experiment is not going to work. We're a week away from the season opener. I got the fantasy football tonight. All of a sudden, the Bucks are quite relevant in fantasy leagues. Mr. DeKemper might show up. We're going to be at Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry. That's where we're doing it. And, of course, I'm excited, gentlemen. How can you not be?
Well, you should be, Ira. You should be. Bill Curry Ford. I mentioned those Labor Day deals. The deals are always there, and you got to find them at BillCurryFord.com. They've got employee pricing for regular customers now. 2019s, they still have some left with amazing offers. I thought I was looking for fine print on one of them, and I was there's no fine print. BillCurryFord.com. Start shopping. They are open on the holiday. No problem there. And, of course, our friend, General Manager Sean Sullivan, is a diehard Bucks fan. He loves Bucks fans. He wants to personally care for Bucks fans. Who call the dealership, stop in, email him. Go to BillCurryFord.com. You'll find Sean Sullivan's email. You can ask him whatever you want about cars, and I bet if you ask him about Mike Edwards, he'll have an answer or two as well. Bill Curry Ford, they're our friends. We care about them. We're all customers, all three of us. BillCurryFord.com. And Ira, you know what? You and I, and a lot of Bucks fans, I'm getting some good RSVPs here, Ira. We will be manning and getting a little rowdy in the brand new outdoor area. Outdoors, fully covered, but outdoors. Fans, and I don't mean just Bucks fans. I mean like cooling fans around. And a full menu at Big Storm Brewing Company in Clearwater. BigStormBrewery.com is the website. You can get all the details on the watch party for opening day at JoeBucksFan.com. We are fired up to drink Bromosa. We are fired up to drink Tropic Pressure Florida Ale and all the great offerings and the seasonal offerings from Big Storm Brewing Company. And Ira, what are you going to eat at the watch party?
I think I might start. I might have an array of stuff. I mean, the man beast will be there protecting me. You will be there, Stephen, I believe. I think I might start with the pulled pork tacos and move on. Perhaps to the Cuban, and Lee, you'll back me up on this. Anybody who is going to be making their Big Storm debut during the Buck opener, you know how they talk about return rate percentage? Lee, I would say the return percentage of customers, and there's two top rooms for Big Storm. One's in Odessa, one's in Clearwater. Lee, that return rate could hover around 95%. Once you show up, the ambiance, the camaraderie, the food and the drink, Lee, it's a heck of a combination.
Oh, sure. And I was at the Odessa tap room Friday, and the bartender, who's kind of the manager of the place, I overheard him saying the Cuban sandwich, he was telling another customer, the Cuban sandwich is the number one seller, and there's a good reason for it.
Lee, I'm holding my breath, which might be a medical issue for me, but I'm holding my breath for you to order something other than the Cuban sandwich at that Odessa location. You are locked in with that Cuban.
Yeah, every once in a while, I might order a club. But, yeah, the Cuban, you can't go wrong.
Just like Barbara Streisand, Steve. Just like Streisand.
Yeah, well, Big Storm Brewing Company, we are so fired up for opening day, Ira, and just great sight lines, You can sit indoors if you don't want to sit outdoors. And, of course, it's just such a fabulous place. We're going to have a good time. Port Richey Lou Ira, he said he's in. He's in. So he will be extra muscle for you in case somebody wants to hassle the sage.
Steve, between him and the man beast, I feel very safe. Very safe.
You should. Lou doesn't mess around. And, boy, I hope the Bucks win, not only for myself and for JoeBucksFan.com, but for Lou. The guy needs a W, man. He needs a W.
I just think of passion when I think of Port Richey Lou and the Bucks. Passion.
All right, Ira, we got news. We're recording this on Sunday, and we've got news on as game week kicks off. We drag the sage out of the pool where he drinks Bramosa and then pets the dog and floats around with his wife to talk some football. Ira, the Buccaneers, not a major move, doesn't have anything to do with opening day, but the Buccaneers have signed Josh Rosen to their practice squad, and so now they finally have a talented developmental prospect to work with all these elite coaches and watch Tom Brady. I like it.
I believe I am on record, gentlemen, on this podcast, as specifically targeting Josh Rosen and saying that the Bucs should be interested in him. At the time he wasn't available, I would have given a fifth or a sixth round pick for Josh Rosen. Now they get him, Lee, for nothing, stash him on the practice squad. I just think that over time, I want Bruce Arians to be around Josh Rosen and make an evaluation of him. You know, do I want this guy going forward? Is this guy a real player? Now, Lee, he stunk as a rookie in 2018. He stunk. He was 3-10. I understand that. But, Lee, that team was terrible. The Cardinal team of 2018, that was the year that Bruce Arians was in the broadcast booth. They were awful. It was the year after Arians left. They had nothing, and I'm not going to close the book on Josh Rosen after that. He played sparingly for the Dolphins last year, didn't do well, 0-3 for the Dolphins. They didn't have much talent, but Lee, he's worth a shot, Lee. That's all I'm saying. No risk. I got to say, when you add it all up, Lee, the Bucs are making a heck of a lot of good moves, smart moves, little risk moves. You know, you got to salute the front office. You got to salute Arians and Light and little Greenberg, and they're all getting it done, Lee. And
I see this on Twitter, and I see people do somersaults over an accountant. Come on.
Well, he's got to make it all add up, but Steve, Buck fans, in terms of an off season, they couldn't have wished for any more. They really couldn't.
I pretty much ignore the practice squad because the chances of a practice squad player having an impact on the team to win games is minute. You could find one guy every 3 years ahead. You know, it's minute. Can't other teams pluck a player off the practice squad?
Yes, a guy can be signed off the practice squad. However, Rosen just cleared waivers, so it seems really unlikely, given all the teams that invested time in scouting him and there is film on him and all that, so it's unlikely, but yes, he could be signed away.
To your point about the 2020 season, Lee, Josh Rosen is not going to be a factor, and I don't claim that he will be.
Here's where I'm coming at it from. Number one, we don't know if he's even going to have impact with the Bucs. So let's say the virus hits the Browns real bad. Well, they could pluck Rosen off the practice squad of the Bucs, so it's no guarantee he even takes a snap with the Bucs. First off. Second off, I'm looking at this not so much they're going to develop Rosen or Rosen's going to be the next starter of the Bucs or any of that. What I'm looking at is here's a guy that probably knows Arians' offense, and in an emergency, i.e. the virus, hits the Bucs, this guy probably better than anyone else they could find could come in as a fourth-string quarterback and play if he's still on the Bucs practice squad, if someone else hasn't grabbed him. That's where I'm coming at it from. First off, I don't think Arians gives a damn about 2023, to be bluntly honest. And Steve and I have been talking about this a long, long time. And in a perfect world, the Bucs should have drafted a quarterback this spring. You know, whether first round or second round, should have drafted a quarterback this spring, because you will never possibly, if you believe the marketing, that the Bucs have the biggest and brightest coaching staff known to George Halas and his heirs, this is the perfect time to develop a quarterback. You won't get a better time to develop a quarterback. Brady is the number one quarterback. He learns behind Brady. He's teached up by Tom Boyle, by Leftwich, by Arians. Arians doesn't believe in that. So at least this guy has some talent, at least this guy knows the offense. He would slide in easier than most.
Well,
that's where I'm coming from.
The fact is, the Bucs did not have a young quarterback on their roster. For me, the Ryan Griffin experiment is over. I'm over that.
He's all right. He's a nice little backup.
We don't know that. We don't know that he's a nice backup.
Was he for 2 for 2 when he came in for January?
Come on, Lee. You're better than that. Come on.
at least you got something to judge him on rather than 0 for 0.
I want Arians to be around Josh Rosen a little bit and make some kind of an evaluation to the Glazers and going forward. Look, everybody knows that this Tom Brady experiment's not going to go past 2 years if it lasts 2 years, and there's doubt about that. So there's nothing wrong with adding a young quarterback, and if he gets plucked off the practice squad, nothing lost, Steve. No risk at all.
I like it. I like the move, considering all the other clowns that are going to be on the practice squad, and I say that with love in my heart. This has some potential. It has some intelligence to the move, and it's certainly interesting. Sage, let me run this past you. Since you brought up patting the backs of the front office and Bruce Arians for this move, and Mike Greenberg, Lee doesn't understand Mike Greenberg, but I know what he's saying.
I'm sure he... I just don't understand the adulation for an account.
Yeah, I don't...
I mean, he's a nice guy, is he making football decisions? I don't think so.
I hope not. But speaking of football decisions, yeah, I agree with you, Lee. I mean, it's silly. You know, it's a cap guy. He's an accountant. You know, cut it out. But Ira, this is important because the other day on television, Adam Schefter, okay, I didn't say Jenna Lane. I said Adam Schefter was on ESPN, and he was saying, looking into the camera, quote, regarding the Leonard Fournette signing, there was a real push here from ownership in Tampa to go get this deal done. Now, Ira, who told him that, and what the hell does that mean, and why is Team Glazer jumping in saying, go get Fournette? What is going on? That's very interesting coming from Schefter, of all people.
Well, first of all, if the Glazers weighed in about going and getting Fournette, I'm saying bravo, Glazers. How do you like that?
Thank you.
If they were the impetus behind it, I say fine.
And I would say, hey, Greenberg, we're going to go play Matthews, too. You find a way with your numbers and your calculator. We're going to fit this guy under the cap. You got it? And go out. And if they have to themselves and go out and get Clay Matthews, do it.
You got to get off this Clay Matthews fixation over there, DeKemper. Take it easy.
Well, you're the one that was, weren't you whining that the Bucks have no backup for JPP or Shaq? And Clay Matthews is cheap, so come on, man. Where am I wrong? This guy couldn't. You won't let this guy on sure passing downs along with JPP, along with Shaq? Holy cow.
Maybe they looked at the film and decided he was done. I mean, they're well aware that he's out there. They're well aware.
Man, 8 sacks last year. That's the Bucks should have had done defensive ends for freaking years. He's done 8 sacks.
Steve, as far as the Glazers are concerned, I remember, I think it was a little bit after Schiano got dusted off by the Glazers. I was talking to him on the phone about the Glazers, and I'll never forget the last thing he said was, Ira, they're a lot more involved than you think they are. Now, that doesn't mean they're telling Light, you know, which fifth linebacker to keep or something like that, or whether Ryan Smith should stay because he's a special teams ace. No, they get involved when, you know, there's a high profile and Fournette fits the description. Maybe they were listening to this podcast, gentlemen. Who are we to dismiss that notion? Maybe they were listening to DeKemper saying, I don't like this backfield. This backfield's not good enough. It's not proven enough. Well, here comes Fournette with a 1,600 yards from scrimmage. Is he Adrian Peterson in his prime? No, but he's been an effective running back when he's healthy.
Well, Ira, perhaps the Glazers heard Bruce Arians in July say, quote, we won't make any adjustments to that position at running back, and perhaps, you know, one of them entered an insane asylum after that and came out and said, this is not going to happen. We're not doing this again with Rojo and Daria Gunbowale. We're not doing it. And then in comes Shady McCoy. But I don't know, Ira, but I applaud whoever decided to make this happen.
It could have been Ed Glazer from one of his three mansions in Southern California. You know, he might have went through one of his 9 bedrooms and, you know, had some time on his hands and looked at the backfield and said, I think I'm going to place a call to One Buck Place. You never know, Lee.
Yeah, that Glazer's one that pulled the string on Fournette. Bravo, Mr. Glazer. I have a colorful one of him and a Trump boat parade, and he called from the boat. That's a more colorful one. But I hope they have the same itch to get Matthews. I mean, who do you trust, Ira? The skill that the Bucks have as a backup outside linebacker or Clay Matthews? I mean, come on.
Steve, how do you explain DeKemper's fascination with, say, obsession at this point with Clay Matthews? Can you give me an explanation, Steve?
Ira, it's very simple. He's said it 17 times already. Clay Matthews, 8 sacks last year, playoff experience. If he's cheap, he's a tremendous backup 3-4 linebacker. End of story.
Why is he still out there, Stevie? Why?
I don't know, Ira. I don't really care. I think he's probably better than Quinton Bell, who's an outside linebacker on the roster. Cam Gill, and Lee mentioned. I mean, yes, you need guys to play special teams and fill the roster, but look what the Bucks are doing this year. They're going after it at all costs. Mike Evans, speaking of which, restructured his contract to take a signing bonus, which means they spread it out over years. You know, he's maneuvering to give them some help and relief, and use every nickel. But I get it. I don't think the Bucks need him yet, but you don't want to start chasing the guy when you need him. You want to get him before you need him.
Well, that's another bravo for Mike Evans. Lee, you heard me say a couple of weeks ago on this podcast that Evans' competitive fire, it's in the same stratosphere as Tom Brady. Praise doesn't come any higher than that, Lee. Evans is tired of losing. Mm-hmm. Came here in 2014, the year before Jameis came to town. They stunk in 2014. They tanked in 2014 down the stretch. We all know that. To get Winston, and he's tired of it. One winning season, no playoffs. It's grating on Evans. He sees the potential of this team, and he's going to try to give him a little financial flexibility. Again, another example, Lee, of between Evans and Godwin, the Bucks are blessed with two anti-divas at a position that usually drives coaches up a wall.
Coaches and player personnel directors.
Hats off to Mike Evans.
Yeah.
Ira, one big disaster would be the Buccaneers losing their first two games. That would be unthinkable. But the second biggest disaster possible would be coming home and seeing mold or smelling mold or water in your home that doesn't belong where it is, maybe behind the washing machine or under the kitchen sink.
You know, Steve, it is a common problem. It is not uncommon, especially in Florida. And if you think you've got an issue in that regard, you've got to call Florida's Elite Restoration. That's your number one. You call them, they'll come out, a free inspection, and they'll tell you in honest terms what you're looking at. But it's not something that you let go, Steve. It's not a slow drip in the faucet that's not going to overwhelm the house. You can't mess around with mold. You can't do it. And Florida's Elite Restoration is your go-to place.
Florida's Elite Restoration, they are mold remediation specialists, licensed mold people. They know exactly what to do and how to assess it, and they'll assess it free for you. So don't call the insurance company first. Call them first. They're available 24/7. And, of course, you can learn all about them and get all their contact info at floridaselite restoration.com, floridaselite restoration.com. Ira, got to run this past you, and when we were talking about backup quarterbacks, I forgot to throw in that Gardner Minshew was drafted after Matt Gay, so we don't have to go any further than that. But got to bring this to your attention, Lee as well, because there's a Bucks fan out there who's a real diehard Bucks fan, and he's in the media, and he's very credible, and we know him, and his name is Chris Sims. Now, Sims was very open this past week about how the Giants are his number one team. Of course, his father played for the Giants. He grew up loving the Giants. Never misses a Giants game. And the Bucks are his number two team. They drafted him. He played here. He's very quick to say he won 11 games.
That made the playoffs.
In 2005, he quarterbacked most of those games. And Sims was asked about the over-under win total for the Bucks, as a guy who, he said, never misses a Bucks game. And the over-under at 9.5, Sims said, I hate saying this. It's so damn painful for me to say this, but I got to take the under 9.5 wins for the Bucks, because he believes the whole country is discounting what it really takes to gel a team and for Tom Brady to get in there and do what everybody wants and expects him to do with a new club, as well as Sims' words, quote, the secondary sucked last year, and he doesn't see some miracle fix, and he just sees the competition and thinks it's under 9.5. What do you think about that, Ira?
I disagree. As my column will point out this week, I think the Bucks will go over that. Lee, part of the reason, and I got to be completely candid here, Lee, is the thought, just the thought, Lee, the fleeting thought, that if the Bucks go 8-8, it's a nightmare scenario. It's an absolute nightmare. Ooh. And I'll tell you why. And we're not going to dwell on it in this podcast because Buck fans don't want to hear about it. But if they go 8-8, Brady could retire. Arians could go vamoose. They don't have a young quarterback, unless you're counting Josh Rosen. They got to start over. Probably got to draft the quarterback. And they'll have the 15th pick in the draft. I mean, that's a freaking nightmare. So getting back to Chris Sims, I don't think the secondary does stink. And I think Winfield is going to turn out to be a very savvy pick. He's a ball magnet. And they desperately need a ball magnet back there, and he's going to get a lot of playing time. And I do believe that that Dean and Davis gelled down the stretch. I think they will be better, Lee, in year two of the Bulls system. JPP is there from day one, which I think is a big plus over the 2019 team. And they should score a freaking ton of points. You know, look, if the over-under was 11, I could see it. 9.5. The division's not that good. Atlanta's okay. Carolina stinks. And the Saints are very good. So I'm going with the over. I don't often agree with anything Chris Sims says. I think sometimes he's nutty. Isn't he the guy that put Breeze and Brady like as the number 20 quarterbacks in the league or something? Something stupid. So I loved covering Chris Sims. I like the guy. Lee, you like him. But he says some nutty things sometimes.
Let's put it this way. Prior to Thursday, if I was going to put money down and the point spread or the win total was 9.5, I likely would have went under, thinking the Bucks would win 9. But at 9.5, you got to win 10. I don't know if that was going to happen. When they got Fournette, my mind changed. 10 wins with Fournette. I believe it.
Even without Clay Matthews, DeKemper?
Even without Clay Matthews.
Steve,
whoever that was, if that's true about the Glazers pulling the strings, you should do that more often. If that's what it takes. I can't believe how many times we wrote how their running backs stink year after year after year after year after year, and it took someone wearing a suit to start kicking someone in the derriere and say, "Go get a running back." Come on. I just think sometimes the people at One Buck, for reasons I don't understand, don't have a sense of urgency. You know, when every other fan in the bar can see you're one position away from possibly being elite, and the people at One Buck are, like Don Rickles routine or something. Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know,
get off your cans. And they finally did. Finally, someone
baby.
At One Buck Place, finally someone at One Buck Place figured out hope is a dirty word, that production actually means a whole lot more than hope.
And Steve, in terms of Glazer involvement, and I know this is going to get a chuckle out of you, Isbitz, because you refer to it often, and I think rightfully so, Stevie, is a suggestion from a media member, local media member, that the Glazers, quote, put their thumb on the scale when it came to drafting Roberto Aguayo. What an absurd thought, Steven.
Yeah, there's a story about that on JoeBucksFan.com that it's titled Dream Glazer. I detailed that backdrop for folks. We don't have to revisit that nonsense. Frankly, we weren't going to give our picks here, Ira. We'll say that for the next podcast and really dive into what we think will happen this season. But the pick of Fournette really moved my needle a little bit as well. I'm not going to say he's worth two more wins or something like that, but really stabilized a lot for me. But I still, you know, as we've said before, I still have issues with the secondary. I don't know about what Sims was saying, but I look at the Saints and I see their three cornerbacks. Ours are all 23 years old with limited experience and success. They've got Marshawn Lattimore, Janoris Jenkins, and Patrick Robinson. Those are their corners. I mean, we don't have anything close to that.
They got Malcolm Jenkins at safety now.
You know, the rosters are interesting to compare. And, of course, the goal here is to go all the way. But the Bucs are going to get in the playoffs if they can get to 10-6, barring some sort of freakish thing that would happen, which would be so 2020. But we'll see. I just have to throw the Sim stuff past you, Ira, because he is a fan. And he's not anti-Bucs in any way, and he's rooting for him. As he said, I hope I'm wrong. Ira, let's go to the roster. We have a 53-man roster. Now, we know that by the time this podcast is listened to, there'll probably be two or three changes to the roster because that's just how it is. And we're not the type of website or podcast who's going to agonize and go bananas over the guy at the bottom of the roster. You know, sometimes it feels nice, like Adam Humphries or Cameron Brate. But like Lee said, those stories are, you know, 3-4 times a decade at the most, and it's not something we're going to obsess about. But
quick here, Cam Brate needs a cooking class. His fiance put photos up on Instagram stories today of his attempt to put corn on the grill. Let's just say they turned into big pieces of charcoal.
Oh boy!
So, Brate, get hold of me on Instagram. I'll tell you a secret about corn on the grill. You'll love it.
Ira, though, anything stand out to you about this roster? One thing we didn't talk about too much last week were the receivers, and Arians is not naming a number three receiver. He sort of said Scotty Miller, Justin Watson, we'll just figure it out on the game plan to see who's number three. They both had a great camp. Tyler Johnson made the roster, Ira. They're not going to give up on him, even though he did nothing. And also at receiver, we got Jaden Mickens, who's the new return guy. And John Hurst, who is a special teams type of guy, and Dario Gunbowale and Matt Gay were launched.
Well, Dari surprised me a little, Steve, because I think special teams is an area of concern for the Bucs, especially vis-a-vis the Saints. Huge edge for the Saints there, although I think Succop will get the job done. But the Saints are strong everywhere in special teams, and the Bucs are not. And Dare was a decent special teams contributor. I think that could hurt. They might get him back. Maybe they won't. So that surprised me. Lee, one thing, pulling back a little bit, I don't know if I'm surprised, but O.J. Howard, you know, whether he really has had a great training camp or not, he survived the offseason. And I wasn't sure he would, Lee. I thought if a team offered anywhere close to what the Bucs were asking for, which I think was a number two. You're not getting a first rounder for O.J. Howard. No chance. And it looks like they couldn't get a two. But I thought they might nibble around a three, and I thought some other teams might be interested in Howard. And, of course, with Gronkowski and Brate, they're making a lot of money between them. And I think Brate's going to have a good season for the Bucs, and Gronkowski's Gronkowski. Howard survived. And he's going to have every chance to flourish with Tom Brady, who will put the ball where it's supposed to be. But, Lee, having said that, I'm still not convinced that Howard is the kind of polished route runner that Brady demands, Lee. Not Brady likes, Brady demands. And if you're off your mark, the ball's on its way, Lee, before you make your break. Unlike Winston, the ball's on its way, and you better be where you're supposed to be. And I'm still not convinced that Howard has worked on his craft to the point where he will meet Brady's standards. I'm going to watch that very carefully.
Well, that's interesting because you kind of blew up what I was going to say. I was going to say I think I know who the number three receiver is, and that guy's name is O.J. Howard. I really believe that. There was a couple of practices where – the Bucs couldn't stop him. I'll never forget. It might have been the second practice I was at. And Jay Recker, we all know him. He's a local radio guy. I mean, Howard was doing everything you ask, everything. And it was toward the end of practice, and Jay saw me. And yes, we were social distancing, but we started talking a little bit. And I said something to him. I said, man, Howard's, he's having a nice practice. And Jay looked at me and goes, they can't stop him. And that was right. He was a man among boys that practice. And, like, you know, all the talk I heard about OJ bonding with Brady, it sure looked like it at that practice. So he's had the best training camp that I think he's ever had with the Bucs. So that's why I was going to say, you know, partially tongue in cheek, the number three receiver is actually going to be OJ Howard.
Well, you know, Steve, if Howard emerges as that kind of target, Steve, this offense could resemble the 2007 Patriots. I know that's Paul Cotton, and I'm not saying Mike Evans is as good as Randy Moss, which he's not, or Godwin, which he's not. But I'll tell you what, if O.J. Howard is a big-time player, and we know about Evans and Godwin, and they ain't going to fall off the face of the earth, and Fournette's a step up, and Gronkowski and Wirfs are better blockers than the Bucks have had in terms of run blocking, and Brady's behind center. Steve, shouldn't this team average 33 freaking points like the 2019 Ravens?
Well, you mentioned the 07 Patriots. I think it's more like the more modern-day version of Gronkowski playing alongside Aaron Hernandez when the Patriots were dominant with those two tight ends. If he's really in that number three type receiver mode, you know, you could see it, a lot of it in that reflected that way. I mean, we're just going to have to see how they capitalize on the matchups. This is really going to test, and I can't wait to see it. I think every Bucs fan can't wait. Test the genius of Bruce Arians and Leftwich and Brady to come together and craft game plans, because every game this year, there's going to be a talented Buccaneer pass catcher who gets next to no targets. And if you're not successful, you're going to start second guessing, well, geez, why did they only throw the ball three times to Chris Godwin? Or what the hell was going on here? Or why did Gronk get two? You know, why is Gronk playing as a blocker for $10 million? It's going to be fun to watch.
Outstanding point, Isbitz. Outstanding. Lee, I was thinking about this the other day. If things start to go wrong, if they do, Lee, and the team starts 3-4, they're not going to be 1-6. They start 3-4, Lee. All of a sudden, Steve's point becomes paramount. Are these guys going to carp? Are they going to seethe silently that they're not getting their touches? Godwin's in a contract year, Lee. Evans is used to a lot of targets. And if Fournette's not the primary running back and the run game's struggling and Jones is getting the bulk of the carries, Lee, you got to watch out for those things. Now, Brady helps in that regard. Having somebody at the helm who's the ultimate winner, it helps. But, Lee, if things go off kilter a little bit, there could be some problems there.
Yeah, it could be. But that's like... You know, Evans has been in worse situations before. He's never really been a distraction, so to speak. And
right.
Godwin's
right.
Always been a quiet guy, and same with Brate. To me, I mean, that's a nightmare scenario you're talking about, Ira. That just seems unlikely only because of the personality you're talking about. If there were some headstrong, flamboyant personalities, yeah.
You mean, Lee, if they might have had a DeSean Jackson on this roster? Perhaps?
Oh, my gosh. He would have, yeah. You're exactly right, Ira. I wonder what that fraud's thinking of right now.
He's healthy. You know, he's going to be playing again.
Yeah, I mean, he's supposed to stretch the field in Philadelphia with Carson Wentz, and we'll see. Steve, he has not been an elite receiver for about 5 years, and I don't know if he ever will be again.
All right, Ira, let me throw this past you. And before we get out of here, and we have an exciting week ahead, want everyone to remember Bill Curry Ford, family owned for 60 years. They present this podcast. They present Ira's work. That is where you need to shop for a truck, a pre-owned vehicle, whatever it might be. Nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles all the time at Bill Curry Ford. Sage, Chris Godwin. Okay, I'm glad you mentioned that he's in a contract year. And no, I don't expect him to, you know, cry about touches or anything like that. But Keenan Allen, I don't think anybody would make the case that Keenan Allen is a better receiver than Chris Godwin. I don't think any of the three of us would. But Keenan Allen just got 4-year, $80-plus million contract from the Chargers with $50 million guaranteed. And I'm telling you, that's what Chris Godwin wants. Why wouldn't he? Why shouldn't he? Everybody says he's the man. What's going to happen here, Ira? What is going to happen with this? Are the Bucs going to pay Chris Godwin and Mike Evans at the same time? And what are your thoughts right now?
I think that's the strength of this football team, even with Tom Brady and Gronkowski and Fournette and Levante and Devin White and JPP and Shaq Barrett. Lee, am I wrong? The strength of this football team is this wide receiver tandem, which, in my mind, unequivocally, is the best tandem in football. And when have the Bucs ever been the best at anything, you know, position-wise, in the whole freaking National Football League? These guys, this pair, will play off each other very well, and you could argue Godwin had a better year than Evans. I think he did. That doesn't mean that Evans isn't still the number one guy on the roster, but you can make the argument. And the fact you could make a strong argument for Godwin tells you how good the guy is. Lee, I love everything about the guy, his temperament, you know, the same as Evans. I mean, there's no difference between these two in terms of sacrifices that they make and how hard they work and what great representatives they are for the organization. And in that respect, Lee, I cannot fathom the Bucs not signing Godwin to a long-term extension. He's a guy that I don't believe, no matter how much money he's making, is going to affect his work ethic. Lee, one iota. And there's a lot of players that you do worry about in that regard. So going forward, after Brady's gone and Gronkowski's gone, Evans and Godwin are going to be Buccaneers, and I'd be shocked if they're not.
I tend to agree with you, Ira. I don't know if I'm as in the tank for Godwin coming back, but I do agree with you. I think the Bucs find a way to keep Godwin, even though he'll be expensive, because that's the strength of their team. I really believe that. And also, I believe, to piggyback on what you were saying earlier, but you don't know if Brady's coming back next year. If Brady doesn't come back next year, the lure of getting Aaron Rodgers would be Godwin and Evans. Yeah, I think Aaron Rodgers is in his last year with Green Bay. I know Steve wrote previously, you know, in 2 years he thought the Packers would get rid of, they'd say bye-bye to Rodgers. Rodgers would come down here and succeed Brady. But I think Rodgers is leaving Green Bay earlier. So let's say if Brady leaves, it would not shock me they lure Rodgers down.
And Steve, you don't get rid of your blue chip players. You don't do it. Godwin's young. He's gotten better every season in 3 years. His numbers may not improve this year because the Bucs have other weapons that they didn't have for the last 3 years. But, Steve, I love everything about Godwin. And to your point, yeah, he's going to want to make a lot of money. And to your point, yeah, I'm giving it to him.
All right, Sage, we had to get your wisdom there, and I agree with you. Blue chip players, young players, especially under 30, you got to keep, which makes it very interesting. If Shaq Barrett finds his way to 13, 14 sacks, he's going to want $20 million as well at 28 years old, and he'll get it on the open market. And so it just makes it all very, very interesting as the Bucs march forward. But we got a football game on Sunday, Ira, and Bucs fans will be treated to a fantastic event, a watch party with the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, and all kinds of Joe Bucs fan readers and listeners at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater. All the details at joebucsfan.com. We got some giveaways. We got a lot of fun ahead. Sage, throw me some wisdom for these fans. And you've been coming up with some gems. Your dentist, the last time, I couldn't believe that you talked about your dentist retiring as we asked you for wisdom approaching game week. But let it rip here. What do you got to say to the people?
Well, as far as the dentist is concerned, guys, I'm going in his office tomorrow afternoon, and I'm going to talk to the receptionist, and I'm going to say, tell me it's not so. Tell me it ain't so. Okay. I can't believe it. This guy's good. He ain't cheap, but he's good. Lee, this matchup in particular, you know, if they weren't going to play the Chiefs, the defending Super Bowl champs in week one, you can't have a better matchup than the New Orleans Saints. Yeah, somebody could say, you could get Chucky to come to town or whatever. First of all, the Bucs are playing the Raiders on the road, so that doesn't work. But to go into New Orleans, the three-time defending division champs, Brees and Brady, Lee, this is a brilliant move by the NFL schedule maker. It's got all the elements, Lee. It's got everything. And if the Bucs can make an early statement, it doesn't guarantee anything. We know what happened in 2018, Lee. They won that game in a shootout, and they ended up 5-11. Doesn't guarantee you anything, Lee, but it would be a heck of a start. And as Steve loves to point out, one of the biggest problems around here is those lousy September's first 5 or 6 games. They're always 2-4, Lee, and they're not good enough to overcome an obstacle like this. I know there's going to be some growing pains, Lee, with all these new faces, especially on offense. But if they come away with that win in the Superdome, that it's a hell of a matchup. You know, Cam Jordan and Tristan Wirfs, I love that game within a game. And I love those cornerbacks on the Saints. And we've seen Lattimore get into Evans's head. We've seen it. But it's a great matchup all the way around. Michael Thomas loves to torch the Bucs. And we'll see if Carlton Davis, or especially Davis, is Davis going to travel with Michael Thomas no matter where Michael Thomas goes? Otherwise, guys, we might be looking at another one of those Julio Jones games against the Bucs where, what the heck are they doing?
Don't say that, Ira. Don't say that. You're upsetting the masses across Tampa. Stop it.
This is one great matchup, and we are all going to enjoy it at Big Storm Brewery, Clearwater location, 49th Street, little south of Olmerton.